realizing how incredibly fragile our lives are, realizing how delicate our lives are, realizing how any time our lives could be snuffed away, we need to seek a refuge. We need to seek a refuge, a place of refuge, an object of refuge that is beyond us. We can't seek refuge in an angry God, in a vengeful God, or in a God that tells us not to respect other people. We cannot take refuge in a God that tells us we cannot accept other religions and other races and other styles and other cultures. We cannot take refuge in such a God. We cannot take refuge in a God that's angry and vengeful and punishes and hurts and damages and is jealous. Why? Then he's just like us, or she's just like us. I'm not going to take refuge in a God that is vengeful and angry and that restricts me from helping others because of religion or color or race. That's wrong. So we're going to take a refuge in something that's beyond a God or gods, and that is a fully enlightened Buddha. A fully enlightened Buddha has no anger, has no jealousy, has no defilements, has zero delusions and projections, and they solely work to benefit others without any expectation or agenda, because they have meditated and removed all causes of defilements. And that can be only a fully enlightened Buddha, for example, Lama Tsongkhapa. When we take refuge in someone like Lama Tsongkhapa, we are taking refuge on two ways. We are taking refuge in an outer being who inspires us to become like them, Shakyamuni Tsongkhapa. We are taking refuge in an outer being who tells us it's possible, that lets us know it is definitely possible. And that inspires us to take refuge in the inner being, in ourselves. How do we take refuge in ourselves? By not lying. By keeping our samayas clean. By working for others. By generating forgiveness. By having no animosity with an agenda. Like a mother who scolds a child out of pure love. A mother who scolds a child out of pure love is not negative karma, it's pure love. So wrathful means can be employed if we have that kind of motivation. And when we work for others and benefit others, that is refuge in ourselves. Why is that refuge in ourselves? Because we open up something that we all have. Kindness, goodness, clear mind, generosity, forgiveness, patience. We have that in all of us. That's why that generosity, kindness, love is called the Buddha nature. People, sometimes I hear they say, hey, we got a Buddha inside of us. Well, how come when you get a double bypass, we don't see any Buddhas inside of you? You see, when we say there's a Buddha inside of us, let me make it clear. The Buddha inside of us is not a Buddha that's inside of us. A Buddha inside of us means our mind that's inside of us, our mind, has the potential to become a Buddha. Hence, that potential to become a Buddha is within all sentient beings. Kangsa tamche. All sentient beings who have consciousness, not feeling and life, consciousness. The ability, the cognitive power to distinguish positive and negative, which plants do not. Feeling positive and negative or reacting to positive and negative is not a sign of consciousness. You can play Mozart near a plant, it'll thrive. You can play, Hell's Bells, AC/DC near a plant, and it just goes like that. It doesn't mean the plant has a consciousness. It just means that energy can affect other energies. Okay? So therefore, when I say consciousness, it means cognitive power, the power of cognition. The power of cognition to discern left, right, and wrong, and the power of cognition to acquire or to delete karma. Okay? So all sentient beings have a consciousness. All sentient beings have a consciousness. Hence, let me explain something very simple and easy for you today, because I'm not going to talk too much on rituals. You guys are going to do that. Once I finish talking, I'm out of here. I'm going to go home and meditate on my DVD. I'm dying to watch Murder Garage. A bunch of people go into garage and murder people. It's really exciting. Anyways, I like deep movies like that. I like horror and science fiction, fantasy. I don't like love movies. I force myself to watch animal stories because it's quite painful. I like documentaries. I don't like sex movies. Oops, bubbly movies. Not because I'm goody-goody. It's boring. You've seen it once. You've seen it all. What else is new? Yeah, I like fantasy. You know, I like science fiction. I like horror. And biographies. I like biographies. You know, what happened to people, their experiences. Because we get enriched by that most of the time. Let's make it very simple. I'm not going to go into details. I will one day. When I'm teaching Tantra, I'll go into more details in the future. When I teach the Vajrayogini Tantra, I'll go into very detailed. And that will help you quite a lot. But let me plant some seeds today. When you have a mind, when you have a consciousness, you have a gross consciousness and you have a subtle consciousness. The gross consciousness rides on the gross winds. The gross consciousness operates through the gross cognitive perceptions. Eye, ear, nose, taste, touch, and feel. All right? So that is gross consciousness. Gross consciousness arises from subtle consciousness. Subtle consciousness abides within your central channel. All right? It abides within your central channel, and then you have gross consciousness. Gross, G-R-O-S-S, is what perceives. Now, if you close your eyes, your gross consciousness of eye is closed. You can't see. But if you close your eyes and you visualize something or you think about something, you can still see. That is your mind's eye seeing. That's your subtle consciousness awake. When you have dreams, you feel, you taste, you touch, you got happiness, you can, you know, some of you riding horses, some of you are flying an airplane, sometimes airplanes crashing, you can feel the fear. Sometimes you meet Albert in a dark alley, you're scared. I mean, you still feel it. You still feel it. You know, like Paris has a bad hair day, like today, she gets scared. She saw her own, with her own eye consciousness. Oh my God. Anyways, when you're alive, you're working through gross consciousness most of the time. When you're sleeping, the subtle consciousness comes through. When you reach certain states in physical actions, your subtle consciousness comes through. And when you're dying or when you're dead, your subtle consciousness comes through. Those are the three times your subtle consciousness will come through. Otherwise, it's operated by a gross consciousness. Gross consciousness arises from subtle consciousness. When you die, gross consciousness dissolves into the subtle consciousness. The subtle consciousness is what leaves your body. Highly attained lamas will stay in Tukdam or meditation of death, which means gross consciousness dissolved by all forms, by all checking the heart, all that, they're dead. There's no heartbeat. But they will stay in meditation because their gross consciousness is still in their body. And they have control to leave. Gross consciousness operates on a secondary timeline, meaning if the gross consciousness is existing at this moment, it exists at this second, it existed a previous second. When it existed a previous second, it existed a previous second to that. And all these seconds make up minutes, hours, days, months, and years, and decades, and centuries. So what happens is that if you are perceiving now, and you are listening now, and you are existing now, and you are thinking now, it is because you were around a minute ago. If you were around a minute ago, you were around an hour ago. If you were around 10 hours ago, you were around now. So by logic, the mind operates like this, like a movie film strip. It doesn't break. So therefore, because you are thinking and cognizing now or perceiving now, you were around before. Hence, let's say you're 50 and you go backwards to your 10, 11, or 8, or 6, 7 years old, you don't remember anything. Just because you don't remember anything does not mean you don't exist. It just means you haven't concentrated. Through meditation on breath, you can gain awareness and perfect memory of what you were doing when you were 6, 7, 4, 3 years old. Proof, in Western science, hypnosis is a proven theory. It is a proven medical practice. It is a proven way to gauge, to release pain, to release trauma. Why? Through hypnosis, one can relax the gross mind, go into the subtle mind, and the subtle mind can remember. Why? Everything we have experienced, the Buddha says, is not forgotten. It is latent within us. And what's beautiful about Buddha's teachings, it matches science very well, very much. Especially when I watch Discovery, they discovered that, but that was already what Buddha talked about in the scriptures. I'm like, oh, that's neat. Buddha even talks about the atom. It's called tu. He talks about the atom and how they form long time ago. So my point is what is that this mind is made up of seconds, but it's very quick. All memory, all that we have done are recorded within our consciousness. It never goes away. Since I've been talking, half hour, 1 hour has passed. We were here an hour ago. If I say to you, what did you eat last Tuesday? Lunch. Tell me now. most of you cannot remember. But if you relax, don't talk, you go back, you think who you were with, what day, you're at the office, what, you probably can remember. Similarly, meditation is the same thing. When you calm your mind down, you can remember. People who meditate have a very good memory. Their memory is very sharp and quick and very precise. People who don't meditate, your memory starts to lapse as you get older. That's why when you meet great masters in Ganden, they can be 80 years old, but their mind is sharp and quick. Why? They've used it. So therefore, meditation is very beneficial for our mind. Very, very beneficial. Now, just in Western therapy of hypnosis, you can make people remember things that happened to them a long, long time ago. And then when they talk about it, they're released and they're not afraid anymore. And in Western hypnotherapy, now, it's a little late, but now they're even regressing back into previous lives. They're regressing back into when they were in their mother's stomach. And you know what? These kids heard what their mother said, the arguments their parents had, the fun that they had, where they visited. They remember, they can say. They remember because they can hear. And they regress back to even before conception into a previous life. If you go on the YouTube and you do a search on previous lives, there are many, many cases not religiously attached. Not Christian, not Buddhist, not Hindu, not religiously attached or connotations of religion. Many people remember their previous lives and they prove it. And they can remember clearly. But Buddha already talked about this. Buddha talked about it. If you make your mind go backwards, you can remember things you did at 7, 6, 5, 4 years old. If you're existing now, you're existing at 7 years old, whether you remember or not. If you're existing at 7 years old, you can remember or you were existing when you were 1. If you were existing at 1, you were existing at 1 month old. If you were existing at 1 month old, you were existing at birth. If you were existing at birth, you were existing prior to birth when you were in your stomach, in mama's stomach. If you were existing in mama's stomach, you must have been existing prior to before you were in your mama's stomach. Otherwise, the mind stops. It cannot just continue. So therefore, at the time of conception, when your mother's red cell and your mother's red cell and the father's white cell, that's what it says in the scriptures, red blood and white bodhicitta merge, that's when the consciousness enters the body. It says in Tantra, Buddha said specifically, consciousness enters the form of a body, sukh form, at the time when these two seeds merge. Once these two seeds merge, consciousness has entered. Consciousness is free of taste, touch, size, and barriers. It can exist in something very small. It exists without a body. It can exist with a body. It can exist in a huge body. It can exist in a small body. Example, you could have been an elephant. You could have been a whale. And now you can be a midget. You could be Danny DeVito. Your mind can change. So hence, the consciousness is continuous. On the basis of logic, on the basis of examination and debate, you can say that your mind does exist. And because it exists, it must exist at a prior moment. Because it existed a prior moment, it must have existed a moment before that. Then all these moments, when we go backwards, you must have existed at the time of birth, and hence go backwards at the time of conception. If you existed at the time of conception, you must have existed prior to conception. There's your reincarnation. If you existed prior to conception, you must have existed somewhere else. If you had existed somewhere else in another life, you must have existed in a life before that, and a life before that, and a life before that. Where it started, let's not talk about today. So hence, if we can go backwards, we can go forward. So at the end of this life, your consciousness will take another life. And then another life, and then another life. If you meditate on that, as the Buddha has taught, as the perfect Buddha has taught, Shakyamuni, you will gain enlightenment. You will gain liberation. Why? When you meditate on your life and how it's interconnected to others, and your life is not being still, that you will take a life again, and you have had many previous lives, you will go to the next step of your meditation. The next step of your meditation will be what causes the lives. What causes the experiences in each life? It must be karma. Why? If it is a all-controlling outside deity, God, or somebody in the sky, then all of us should have equal experiences, equal chances, equal start, equal end. Equal. Example, there are places in Africa, there are places in Asia, there are places in, you know, I don't know where, in distant parts of our world where nobody's heard about religion. So if they've never heard about Buddha, they've never heard about Jesus, they go to hell, they go to purgatory? Doesn't make sense. If Buddha doesn't appear there or Jesus doesn't appear there and they go to purgatory, what about the millions of years that man has been on this earth and women have been on this earth? Do all of them hang out in purgatory? Well, why even create them then? Why don't you manifest yourself earlier so they can look at you, take refuge in you, and they can go to heaven? Doesn't make sense. Nonsense. Because in Buddhism, we debate logically. So I'm not criticizing another religion. I'm debating for my own spirituality. So therefore, if it's an all-controlling God in the sky, we must be born the same. Example, if I'm your father and I have 5 kids, and I give each one of you $1 million, one of you comes back totally with 20 million, another comes 100 million, another comes back with a loan, another person doesn't make it, another person used up their money, you are given a free share and you can do whatever you want. But if I give one $1, another one $100, another one $1,000, another one $1 million, and the one that comes out with $1 million, with $10 million, the one come back with $1 comes out $1,000, and I say, what is fair? What? I give you the same thing, you should come back with the same thing. No. So therefore, some of us are born blind, deaf, and mute. How do we attain liberation? How do we see God? How do we see Buddha? How do we take refuge? If you're born mute, deaf, dumb, retarded, mongoloid, mentally challenged, well, God had a purpose for them. What purpose? To teach you a lesson. He suffers to teach me a lesson? You're not very nice, God. Doesn't make sense. So what explains the disparity? What explains the disparity? One is suffering. One is happy. One is retarded. One is this, one is that. And it changes. It doesn't stay still. Your karma and the deeds you created. Example, if you beat other people and you torture other people, you will be born maimed, handicapped. The Buddha said very clearly, as a result of your own karma. If you always steal from others, if you always take from others, if you always cheat others, you will be born in lands that are filled with war, fighting. Difficult to get water, difficult to get food, and even you build a house, it gets crushed. That's not God's doing, that's your own doing. That's your own doing. Whether you believe in a God or not is all right, but what you need to believe in is yourself. You need to believe in what you do and that you control your future. You control what happens to you. And all the disparity you see in this world cannot be explained by God. All the disparity you see in this world can be explained more clearer if we take responsibility for it, which is karma. You see, if you accept karma, when bad things happen, you don't lash out at other people. You become patient. You become gentle. You accept. And you make a difference. When you blame others, anger comes, violence comes, murder comes, pain comes. You see, karma makes you take responsibility. Karma doesn't allow you to blame others. Karma does not allow you to blame others. Karma doesn't allow you to blame yourself. Karma tells you what's wrong. Karma explains to you what's wrong, and therefore you do something about it. So if you want to rely on an outer deity to give you liberation and freedom, if you want to rely on an outer deity, then how come nobody's prayers is heard? Nobody's prayer is heard. Why is there suffering after suffering after suffering? And you know what? I don't know, in 1,000 years, 1 million years, 100 million, I don't know. Definitely our sun will burn out. Definitely our planet will blow up. Definitely we will be exterminated. Definitely. That's scientific fact. You can call it Armageddon, whatever, I don't know. I don't have any prophecies on that, but that's a scientific fact that our sun will burn out and we will be destroyed. This planet and everything we know of it will be crushed and destroyed and reformed again. What am I saying? But Buddha has explained many planes of existences, many places you can take rebirth, many other forms of life you can take rebirth in. Samsara is not planet Earth. Planet Earth is a dot in samsara. Samsara is not planet Earth. Planet Earth is just a dot within samsara's existence.